Good afternoon, Saints. This is Chloe DiPilato coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut. And on my heart this day is I feel a need to express myself prophetically and just give you the word of the Lord that's in my spirit, the message God has given to me. And there was a time in my life when the Lord used me to bring prophetic words to a local assembly, or prophetic words to the body of Christ in general through the written word, and prophetic words to people who were in need from a word from God. And there was probably a good storehouse of the prophetic word within my being to give as the Lord quickened me to prophesy. And those were happy, glorious days, because the unction was there, the anointing was there. God's people seemed to recognize the anointing. And then as I traveled through the timeline of my life, things happened where the word of the Lord could be brought into question, and am I worthy to even give the word of the Lord? And so God has changed things in my spirit concerning these things. And I am in my 60s, and I look at some in their 20s and 30s and 40s whom the Lord is using powerfully in prophetic ways and to bring the word of the Lord to encourage God's people. I'm not going to drop names, but I'm sure you can all think of your favorite person to hear prophesy, even over this past beginning months of this year. Heard some tremendous prophecies that have really, I believe, set the course for the church in a lot of ways, and especially set the course for individuals who are determined that they are not going to be lukewarm in their experience. They're not going to be hot, but they're going to either be hot or cold, and they've set their faces like a flint toward Zion. Hallelujah. And I even received a prophetic word last night, a general prophetic word for God's people and for encouragement for the state of this world and the state of our country, having to do with the Supreme Court. And I did bear tremendous witness in my spirit. I bear witness to all these things. And Christ is a many-member body, and he speaks in different ways through different ones, and we need to receive the whole counsel of God. But I need to tell you today that the Lord has given me one message. It's a message that burns in me, and I can't seem to get anything else from the Lord. Now, yes, I have the Lord drop into my spirit words that he wants me to lift out of the scripture for God's people to encourage you out of the scriptures, and those would be called preachings or teachings, or maybe you'd call it a sermon or a message, but all those things are good, and they all have their place. But I feel like I need to declare to you what is the word of the Lord in my spirit. And this may make you never want to listen to anything I have to say again. It may make you want to never read anything I have to say again. But I need to be true to the call of God in what I believe God is saying to me. And it just seems like in one way or the other, the Lord is always confirming and making this so real in my spirit that I feel like I need to share. When I was a child, now let's just pray before I launch into this. Lord, you know that this is what's in my spirit for your people, God. And Lord, I pray you would confirm it, even with signs and wonders, Lord, that you would confirm your word, Lord. That is the truth, God, for the people of God, Lord, that we might present every man perfect, Lord, in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And when I was a child, being raised in the Assembly of God, we used to have a little chorus that we sang that went like this, a very simple chorus, and it said, there's no night there, there's no night there, hallelujah, there's no night there, for in that city bright where Jesus is the light, hallelujah, there's no night there. And I was raised with that chorus, and it stayed in my spirit, and it brings illumination and it lights my way. And I feel like it's a lamppost for discernment, for teaching me how to discern. And then I go to the book of Matthew, and in very specifically the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." That scripture tells me that if I want to know the will of God, I just need to think and meditate and read what the scriptures have to say about heaven. And if it does not look like heaven, I have a question mark. If what is going on in earth, in the church, if it's not something I can envision happening in the hallowed halls of heaven on the streets of glory, then I don't receive it as being from the Lord, and I have a question mark. Now, I'm going to insert here to say that I know that people mean well. I know that people have hearts toward the Lord, but if you're not reading His Word to confirm what you're doing, if you're not in this book solidly spending time in the Word of God to measure what you think is right against what the Scriptures say, then there's a good chance that you might be off, that you might need to circumspectfully look at God's Word and try the Spirit and say, "Is this in Your Word, Lord? Can I find this in the Holy Scriptures? Is this in the Scripture of truth? Is this showing me the right way?" And base all your feelings on that. Base your feelings on the sound doctrine of the Word of God. There's something happening in the church right now. There's one thing the Lord told me. He told me not to judge anybody's worship. But overall, there's something happening. And God looks at hearts, and He has the capacity to take everything into consideration, heart by heart. But when those who should know better, who are leading God's people, who are leading the flock, who are responsible, are not looking into the Word to make sure they're leading God's people in the right way, there's something terribly wrong. And I believe that what God's saying to me is that in the midst of all the good words that are coming, whether generally or specifically, and maybe some would even call them pie-in-the-sky scriptures, I believe the Lord can bring those things to pass, but the message He's given to me is that basically, the church needs to get saved. The church, the born-again church, needs to get saved and needs to find God's Word, needs to find the book of the law in the house of the Lord. There's a scripture about that somewhere. I got to find it. But God's people in the household of faith need to get saved. And how do I know they need to get saved? Because there's such an embracing of carnality and worldliness. And how is it manifesting? It's manifesting in the fact that there's a lot of night in the church. There's a lot of darkness in the church. And the church needs to be purified and be cleansed from this mindset. And I'm walking into my kitchen to get some water. The church needs to be cleansed of this mindset that we're going to use darkness and we're going to use nightclub atmosphere to win the lost to Jesus, that we're going to use nightclub atmosphere as the context in which we worship. Because when you get to heaven, you see that there's no night there, and the Lamb is the light of that city of God. You're going to be shocked when you're walking up and down in heaven and looking for the Holy Ghost nightclub you can attend, and you find none. You're going to be shocked. I don't care what good feelings this nightclub atmosphere gives you. I have tried to embrace it. Believe me, I've put on worship tapes from some of these mega churches where they use this this worldly atmosphere, this nightclub atmosphere, this theatrical atmosphere. And I bear no witness. I can't get a witness. I have struggled and I have tried. I have tried to embrace this doctrine that says this is the new thing that God is doing. This is the new way God is moving. We just have to embrace it. We need to accept it. It's so far from the Word of God. And I want to read some scriptures and pray that they connect in your spirit. What are we to do? What are we to do as the remnant? We want to be part. We don't want to miss out. We want to be, even though we're the remnant, we want to be part of the mainstream of what God's doing. And people say, oh, this is the big thing that God's doing. Well, he can move anywhere. He can save souls anywhere. His word does say to be all things to all men. And I know that he can use all these things that man has concocted and ask the Lord to put his blessing on rather than to seek the Lord in the word and to be the saints in light. I know that God can bless all those things and use all those things, and he does. But what's the fruit? Does it remain? Do these people who are raised up in that system become strong systems, strong Christians and disciples of Jesus Christ? I believe it only happens if within that place, within that system of man, the nightclub system, this new Babylon, I believe that the only way there's only any hope is if they have someone there that's pointing the way to the light, pointing the way to the better way, pointing the way to the brightness of the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing the way to a true relationship with him. Otherwise, they're just coming in and going out like babes, never growing up, never maturing, because all they're getting is this false atmosphere that feels good to the flesh and good to the soul, but never brings a cleansing that comes through the light. And of course, light means revelation, knowledge, but I also believe that light means light, being in the light. In the light, you can find things. Last night, my son couldn't find his keys, and it was a pretty disturbing situation. And I said to him, well, let's just wait for the morning light, and then we can find the keys. And so he went to bed settled, knowing that that was probably the best course of action, that when the daylight came and he had the bright light of the sun, he'd be able to see to find his keys. And I still don't know if he found them, but I'm just mentioning a principle. You need the light to find it. You need the light to find what you lost. And this darkness that the church is enshrouding it on, putting the attention on man on a pulpit, on mere flesh. And then they get up and sing things like, oh, we're worshiping an audience of one. Let's face it, folks. If you got a spotlight on you, everybody is in the dark, but you've got a spotlight on you, it's more about you than it's about God. We need to get our attention back on the throne and off of the platform, back onto Jesus. And when we have the lights on in the house of God, that begins to happen. Because we're not lifting up a man. We're not exalting a man, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's happening is so clearly seen in the scripture. Psalm 79, and maybe I'll comment, maybe I'll just let the word speak for itself. But saints, this is what's burning in my heart. This is the message God has given me. I don't know if I'll ever prophesy another thus saith the Lord word that's very specific to a situation or to a person or to a church, but I know that this is the message God has given me for the church, that we need to have a revival in the church before we're going to see a revival in the world. The church needs to be purified and cleansed in order that we might see true revival in our neighborhoods and in the world. We've got to come back to him first, back to the heart of worship. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, the heathen are coming to thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled, and they have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heavens, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. And I don't begin to pretend to know or understanding all the symbolism of that, but it speaks to me in my spirit that as long as the heathen are having sway to have their agendas in the house of God, and I tell you, when somebody doesn't have some scriptural a strong scriptural backdrop of sound doctrine, that it all you have to do is read your Bible through, and you can get it into your spirit. Sit under those who know the sincere milk of the word. Sit under those who know foundation principles. As long as newcomers and newbies and Johnny come latelys with everything that they are, is I don't want to be too descriptive, because I do realize God knows the heart, but I'm telling you something. What's in the heart is going to manifest on the outside. That's why when people use the scripture, God looks on the heart, but man looks on the outward appearance. You better believe man looks on the outward appearance. And your outward appearance can turn people off and confuse them, or can draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The heathen are coming to thine inheritance. This is happening. What is God's inheritance? It's his house. It's the place where he moves. It's the place where gifts and callings and ministries are given and poured out. That's God's inheritance. That's what God has for his people, his kingdom, his church. That's his inheritance. But when darkness is coming into the house of God, and a confusion of ways, and a loss of principles, and a loss of the true word of God, and just an attitude of putting God's word on the back burner, and just, you know, let's preach from a movie that we saw last night rather than from the holy book. I know that movies show a lot of good principles. In fact, there have been times when I've seen a movie and I thought, wow, you know, that's a message that'll preach good. And I was going to use a movie for a text. And the Lord said, no, my book is full enough and good enough to find a text. You don't need all sorts of books. You don't need all sorts of helps. Go to my word first. Go to my word first. Don't add to my word. Don't take away from it. What place do motivational speakers have in the household of faith? Well, I'm sure there's some prophetic encouragement there. I'm not just a sourpuss. I'm not just sucking lemons and spewing it out. But I'm talking about a better way, a higher way. I don't want to be one that's laying the inheritance of God on heaps. I don't want to be laying Jerusalem on heaps. Confusion. We just need to be so full of stuff, more clutter, more spiritual clutter. God's saying, return to simplicity. Return to the first love. Return to your first love. There's nothing wrong with simplicity. There's nothing wrong with that rest of God that comes through simplicity. Next portion of scripture. And I'm going to make my point about the light and the darkness, because God makes a point about it, and it burns in my heart, and it concerns me. It deeply concerns me. And I know that there's a whole lot of good coming out of the big churches and the mega ministries, and there's a whole lot, there are honest and true men and women of God, and I know that a lot of them have just given in to the nightclub atmosphere because somebody's convinced them that this is the only way they'll grow their church and bring in the lost. But and maybe it's the truth. Would I want to see it go back the other way? Well, I would put a challenge to every man and woman of God who thinks they have a church where they're having a great move of God, and where there's just such a feeling and such great worship. I challenge you to do this one thing. Turn the lights back on. Get rid of the smoke machines. Get rid of the black drapes. get rid of the spotlights on the stage and just begin to praise and worship the Lord without all the extra effects, and see how much of God is still there. See if he's still there. And you will know if you've been building your church on a soulish atmosphere or if the Lord is really in it. And if you find that God is really in it, you have one of two courses to take. You can agree with what God's word says, and you can do it without all those effects, or you can put all the effects back in and be on your merry way. It's between you and the Lord as his servant. But I really adjure you to test it. I mean, I've been in churches where they have wrinkled drapes with flames going up. What about the real fire of the Holy Ghost? We're substituting brass for gold in the temple of God. Don't you want the real thing? It's time for the church to desire the real thing. And if you don't desire the real thing, time to go back to the cross and get before God until you do. If you're going to take a symbol, if you're going to desire the symbol over the substance, if you're going to desire curtains that show flames of fire over real Holy Ghost conviction in the house of God, you haven't really met this Jesus. You haven't really and truly met this wonderful Savior. You know, I'm learning again and again. I think I've met him, but I find I need to meet him in a deeper way. Today I listened to something. By the end of that message that was preached, it was preached out of Times Square Church. By the end of that message, when they were given the altar call, I was crying and weeping. I fell in love with this gospel of Jesus Christ all over again. I fell so in love with this message, this true, pure gospel that washes us whiter than snow, that opens the doorway that we can make heaven our home. I fell in love with it all over again. Now let's go on. For this cause, and I'm reading from Colossians 1, 9 through 13. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And friends, this is how I feel. It's like this prayer doesn't leave my spirit for the Church of Jesus Christ. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We're to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, my friends, when you read that scripture and you know you've been translated out of darkness into the light, why do you want to be in a church service where darkness is being magnified as the method to save souls? Why do you want to go back into a nightclub? You can go to a nightclub any place in any town of the United States or a place of darkness. They are few. They are many. There's multitudes of them. They're on every corner. They're on every strip. You can find a place of darkness if that's what your soul is looking for. But when you come into the house of God, aren't you looking to be in the light? Aren't you looking to be exposed to the sunlight of God's love and God's mercy and God's cleansing power? That's what the church is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be a soul-saving station. It's supposed to be different. It's supposed to be the place where we're known and where we can be known in his presence. And if surfaces in the house of God that is of darkness and not of him, let's bring it to the light so he can correct it. Someone said to me one time that they loved the dark services and they loved to worship in blackness because they didn't have to worry about what somebody else looked like or the look on their face. Or that they might be judging them, or that they might misinterpret somebody's wrong face or wrong attitude. You know, if that happens, let the Lord speak to us through it. If someone across the church is giving me a sour look, or I could be absolutely misunderstanding them, because we know that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. But maybe the Lord is using that face for to me look to look inward and to discern that maybe there's an area in my life that saint across the room is discerning, and I need to bring myself and my heart before the Lord and search my heart. God is seen and realized through face-to-face encounters. Even the angels at the mercy seat look into each other's faces. There's something about face-to-face encounters that is so purifying and brings God's presence and brings fellowship. And when we have a church service where the atmosphere is just our putting our faces towards somebody who's in a spotlight, who is just mere man and just has all the same issues of carnality and struggles and worldliness that we are battling every day like we do, why would we be magnifying and lifting them up? And that's exactly what's happening. We need to turn on the lights in the house of God. And that's in every way. The scriptures of truth, the revelation of God's word, the illumination of God's word. We all need to look at the faces of one another to see what we can discern, not to be judgmental, not to be judging, but to be realizing truth in the inward parts. That's what the household of faith is all about. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. We need to be in the light so we can see the light. Given thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of inheritance in the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. As long as we stay in the darkness, that darkness still has power over us. As long as we make a church like a nightclub, Believe me, it won't be hard to turn around and walk right back into the nightclubs of the world and the darkness that God delivers us out of. And it's not just a matter of a place where it's dark. It's a matter of everything that place of darkness represents, a place where we can easily sin, a place where we can easily have affairs, a place where we can easily slip into a background and do our drugs, a place where we can get drunk and we don't have to worry about what anybody thinks, because maybe they don't even recognize us or know who we are. Now, I'm going to wrap this up, I think. I'm going to go to Revelation. This is the picture of heaven. And this is what God said in his word. Jesus prayed. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is what it's like in heaven. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb..." Thank you, Jesus. "Is the light thereof." Now, I need to go into my Bible for a minute, because I want to quote this scripture right, and obviously my printer didn't print it correctly. I'll tell you right now, though, what I know is that this is what burns in my heart, what it's like in heaven. And this is going to be the Lord helping me right now. I should be able to quote it, and I basically can, but I don't want to make any mistakes with it. Revelation 21, 22 through 24. "And I saw no temple therein, for the day Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor it, unto it. Thank you, Jesus. The Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. As long as we're keeping our focus on a dark stage, the Lamb is not the light thereof. The Lamb is not the one with the attention. The Lamb's glory is not what we're beholding. We can sing about it all we want, but that darkness that's ruling in the household of faith, ruling in God's temple, it's like Jerusalem has been laid in heaps. The heathen have come into thy inheritance. If the ways of the household of God look more like what the heathen do than what the saints do, it's not God's light. It's not God's glory. It's not truly God's presence. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is so much what is in my spirit. And I'll go to chapter 22. And let's start with verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Now, when we read these scriptures about heaven, this is what we're to be seeking the Lord for right here on earth. We're to be seeking that His glory. The Bible says the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover this earth like the water covers this, waters cover the sea. This is what God asks us to pray for, that the will of God be done here on earth like it's done in heaven. And this is a picture of heaven. This is His will. So if I see something that doesn't look like heaven, doesn't have the scent of heaven, doesn't have the glory of heaven, doesn't have the smell of heaven, then I have a question mark. I have a question mark. And I'm not going to anymore force my spirit to try to embrace that which I don't see in God's word. And that's what I've been doing for many years now. I've been trying to embrace an order that is not God's order, but is man's order. Now, the Bible says to come out from her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Obviously, God has His people in the systems. God has His people everywhere. There's no place that God doesn't have His people. But His call is always to come out. Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. This is Babylon. This is the darkness of Babylon. It's the ways of Egypt. We need to come out. It's infiltrated the church, and we need to come out. Now, Judson Cornwall coined the phrase, and he's a mighty man of God, and I love it, loved his ministry. But he coined the phrase, bloom where you're planted. And if you can bloom in a place you're planted where there's no sunlight, well, praise God, you're a powerful Christian. And if you are in a situation where you really believe God has placed you in somewhere and you are hearing a good word, ask the Lord to join you with those of like spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto these things the things which shortly must be done, which must shortly be done. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, for you who are saying to me, oh, the dark, this isn't about physical darkness or physical light, and it's okay because we are really worshiping the Lord, and the Lamb is the light, and it has nothing to do with the light, whether the light bulbs are on or off. And but at the same time, you're using the symbolism of smoke machines to symbolize the smoke of his presence, or rippling fire curtains to represent the fire of the Holy Ghost, then why don't you turn the lights back on to represent the light of God? The light of God, the heavenly light of God, the no night there, that is in the place where there's no need of a temple, because the Lamb is the light and he is the temple. So be true across the board. Be true across the board. If you can have all those symbolisms in the house of God to represent spiritual things, had you not ought to also represent the household of faith as a place of light by turning on the lights and stop this nightclub nonsense in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, Father, I know that I spoke strongly, and I pray, Lord, that only what's truly of you will be imparted, and nothing in my own spirit that might sound like anger or be conveyed, Lord. You know that my spirit is grieved within me, Lord. Father, that we need to be representatives of the light, Father, that is supposed to be a city on a hill that with a light that cannot be hid. Lord, we are the saints of light, and our lights are to shine in the darkness, even in your house, Lord. Not only in the world, but even in your house, Lord. And I pray, God, that your spirit, Father, would speak through this word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.